Would you like to stand for prayer? Father, as we look at this passage from Judges 13, which is a difficult one, help us with the Holy Spirit to understand its application to us today and how important it is, notwithstanding some of the things that are said in the Bible about Samson. Bless you, Father, that you show us all the way we need to go in this world by looking at the Bible and its early stories of salvation. Amen. Would you like to be seated and open the Bible at chapter 13? Right at the beginning, almost at the beginning, page 238. 238. Now, some of us, if we know this story of Samson well, what does that mean for us? It's obviously signalling that we've all got to leave the building. All right, are we? We're okay. Good, well, the bell's got your attention, hasn't it? That was very good bell, that was. But some of us may be wondering why we should be concentrating on a man like Samson. Does a man, Judges 16, verse 1, who consorted with a prostitute, in many respects seems immoral, acted often as an irresponsible teenager, have a right to our attention as Christians? Frankly, is there anything pleasant and wholesome about Samson? On being asked to preach on Samson, my gut reaction was to decline the offer and let somebody else do the honours. In many respects, Samson's life does not inspire me. And you may feel the same if you've read the story. And yet, as Christians, we mustn't forget that the Bible is a whole, that all 66 books are part and parcel, and that they all point to Jesus Christ, and that we cannot ignore a chapter in the Old Testament or a few chapters, but must read them within the context of the whole Bible and of the pointer by the Bible to our Lord Jesus Christ. Further, we mustn't forget that his name, that Samson's name, is mentioned in the New Testament, Hebrews 11, verse 32. The writer of Hebrews speaking, "And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets." And then the writer goes on to speak about faith. Surely someone like Samson, grouped together with David, Samuel, and the prophets, insists on our attention. We cannot put the story of Samson on one side. Further, as we read the Old Testament, we realize that God used morally weak human beings as his mouthpieces, but particularly as his rescuers. What about King David? A man who committed adultery and arranged for the woman's husband to be killed, and yet was used by God to rescue the nation of Israel from insignificance and build it up to be a great nation, which peaked under his son Solomon. Further, there were other non-Jewish leaders who were used by God as rescuers. Cyrus, the Persian king, referred to by God as Isaiah 44:28, "My shepherd." Isaiah 45:1, my anointed. And Cyrus was used to rescue the nation of Israel from Babylon and bring it home. So in the case of Samson, we must look at him. He is important. And so let us consider together his arrival on the scene under the heading which we have, God's Rescuer Announced. We should remember that the time of judges in Israel's history was a dark age. Using a modern idiom, anything goes, and that applies very much. Some of us will remember that the Ten Commandments were given in Exodus 20, all the way that the nation of Israel should live. And yet, at this point, the standards of the Mosaic covenant were to a very great extent ignored. And we've already seen from the story of Gideon that the Israelites had turned away from the Lord and were worshipping Baal and other gods. So we can see that the time of Judges was a dark age. So where do we go from here? Well, first of all, remember that the wife of Manoah was barren, having borne no children. Verse 3. What does that teach us today when a baby arrived? That nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible in the relation of friends, family, coming to know Jesus Christ. But let's start by concentrating on Samson's mother and father, Manoah and his wife, who for some reason doesn't get a name, which is a bit much for women. They ought to have a name. God's plan to use their son began with his parents. Now, if you've heard this story or read it before, have you noticed something? How close Manoah and his wife were. They were together. And not only that, both of them seem close to God in relationship. Notice Manoah's prayer after the angel of the Lord announced that his barren wife would give birth to a son who would be God's rescuer. Verse 8. Then Manoah, he prayed, entreated the Lord, and said, O Lord, I pray, let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we are to do concerning the boy who will be born. The story of the appearance of the angel to Manoah and to his wife reveals the faith of both of them. Their desire to conform with God's plan for their life, for Samson, who was to be born. And so noticing the togetherness of the married couple, and notice as well the way Manoah accepted without comment his wife's telling of the appearance of the angel to her. As husband and wife, they were as one, which is right. Notice also the offer of food to the angel, verse 15, the burnt offering and offering of the grain to the Lord, verses 19 and 20, to him who works wonders. Notice their faith, to him who works wonders. And the appearance must remind us of the angel's appearance to Zechariah in the New Testament, Luke, predicting the birth of John the Baptist, and the angel's appearance to Mary, telling her that Jesus, the ultimate rescuer, was to be born. But reverting to the Judges passage, this together married couple remind us that our closeness together and our closeness to Jesus Christ as Christian husbands and wife can mean that in God's goodness we are chosen to bear children who in their day will be used mightily by God and prove the rescuers of many men and women from the world of sin to the life with the Lord Jesus, to the life of righteousness. And as Finley Joshua was baptized earlier, I thought he could make a good evangelist when he grows up. With a name like Joshua, nothing is impossible, is it? And that's the wonderful thing about the new generation. I think this about our grandchildren, that they can do wonders in the Christian way, because by that time I'll be long dead and forgotten. Through Jesus, the Father saves. But you see, he needs on the ground, in this generation, in the generation to come, in the generation after that, rescuers fully committed to him, as Manoah and his wife were in those dark days. Because we live in a dark world. And yet you get a Christian who is really keen, who loves the Lord. What a witness he or she is. Now this is all about families, isn't it? Is your family like that? Or would you say you need to come closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and closer to each other possibly, so that God can use you? As an aside, before we move on to the question of the Spirit of the Lord, do notice, I like this part, verse 19 to 23. We've got the offerings, and afterwards Manoah realizes that it was the angel of the Lord, and Manoah says to his wife, "We shall surely die, for we have seen God." If ever there was an indication of the sensible qualities of wives and mothers, it is here. Manoah thinks that they will die, for they've seen God, but his wife, with obvious common sense, reminds Manoah that God would not have accepted the burnt offering and grain offering and given them instructions about Samson's birth if God was going to kill them. I like this wise lady. She reminds me not to be too proud to take Caroline's opinion on spiritual matters. The same surely applies to all of us married men. For a common sense answer, ask the wife. But why should God use Samson as his rescuer of the Israelites from the Philistines? That is the important question. Why take this man who had so many moral faults? Why? What was the point? Since eventually Samson was going to die at the hand of the Philistines, you remember, he put the pillars, hands around the pillars, it all fell off, and the Philistines were killed as well. Why use Samson? Was perhaps, first of all, Samson's birth and actions as rescuer appointed towards the New Testament and the Father's ultimate rescue of his people from sin in his Son, the Lord Jesus? Pointer. I said that the Bible is all, you look at it as a whole, here's a pointer towards Jesus. We should read the exploits of Samson in the light that God was preparing the way for his Son Jesus to be born within the Jewish nation. At this time in history, there was a strong possibility that the Philistine oppression would threaten Israel as a nation. If you read this part of the Bible, you'll find that even the Israelites were sort of, oh well, they're our rulers, we must do what they say. But God did not want that for the nation of Israel. This is why Samson's birth was important. This is why it's significant in relation to the Bible as a whole. This is why, as the boy grew, the Lord blessed him, and this is why, verse 25, the Spirit of the Lord began to stir in him. Samson was going to act as God's rescuer, albeit on his own. The point is that there was no king, so there's no eventual leader, and it was up to individuals, like Samson, like all the different judges, to act as he, Samson in this case, would think right, so that something would happen. It concerns the nation of Israel. Now, action in the name of God can never be separated from the Spirit. verse 25, the Spirit of the Lord began to stir in him. Samson was no exception. However, do appreciate the difference between the Spirit here and the Holy Spirit who came upon the disciples at Pentecost. The charismatic anointing of Samson to give him unique strength and help him to perform spectacular feats made it possible for him to hold back the Philistines' threat. But it did not necessarily give him holiness of life. You can see that if you read the Bible. In the New Testament, however, God's revelation to men and women having been fully revealed, we Christians receive the person of the Holy Spirit promised by Jesus, enabling us to perform wonderful acts in Christ's service, but also and compare to Samson's charismatic anointing, but also to help us become more like Jesus himself in the way we live. So if you think about that, as Christians, from the Holy Spirit, we have more power to affect the age in which we live than Samson had in relation to the Philistines, if only we are open to God's power in us. And what does this chapter, especially verses 24 and 25, teach us today? Well, we've heard about Samson's parents and their closeness to God. We learn from the book of Judges that in God's eyes, this, the time of Samson to be, when he's born, was a time of sin and apostasy. People had turned away from God. God being the real judge of men and women, needed Samson to fulfill his work. Thus, God's Spirit moved him to hold back the Philistine menace. Now, what about today? I don't know about you how much television you watch, but whenever there's a television program which has bearing on the Christian faith, I have a habit of watching. And I'm usually horrified by what I see and hear. People in the world today have no idea what Christianity is about, no idea at all, and it's looked at as a religion, and people look down on it and think, well, this is ridiculous. And yet the Christian faith, if understood, is so special and is a way of living. So whenever I watch those TV programs, I wish I could get on TV myself and have a go at them. But I'm not allowed to do that. They only have these special speakers who mess it up. But we are living in a dark age, with a population, many of them, not all, far away from God's plan for their lives, far away from the Christian faith, which inspired our forebears from St. Augustine onwards, far away from the wonderful time after the agony of the Reformation, in the sense that people killed each other. But after that, the Christian faith really grew, and it was wonderful. And we have John Wesley, and we have all the commitment of those centuries, right up to the First World War. And then it began to go back. And today, there is very little difference, surely, between our world, the darkness, and the Dark Ages at this time, spiritually. I'm not talking about practicalities and how we react to people, but of course that's different. But spiritually, we are in a dark age. What does God need? He needs you. He needs me as rescuers for friends, family, and neighbours. We are not, of course, the rescuer, with a capital R. He is our Lord Jesus Christ, who rescues all who look to him. But how do we turn the hearts and minds of our friends, families, and neighbours to the significance of Jesus Christ as their personal rescuer, their saviour? In our time, the person of the Holy Spirit first turns our hearts and minds towards Jesus Christ, and helps us to grow in holiness love for Christ, each other and the world, so that we are a witness. You won't convert people unless you are a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ yourself in the way you live and then in the way you speak. As our hearts of stone are softened, God uses us to speak to people not yet Christians and explain that Jesus Christ is calling them to faith. And the way we live, the way we are, is a bigger witness than the words we speak. In that way, we can be, in a small way, yes, in a small way, God's rescuers of friends, families, and neighbors. So, this is a difficult passage, but let's recap. One, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. So if we're going out and speaking, or if we're talking to a family, or if we're praying for our own family, for our children and grandchildren to be Christians, keep going, because nothing is impossible with God. And if any of us here this morning have not yet become Christians, well, you know, you could be a Christian within a few weeks, because nothing is impossible with God. Two, as Christian mums and dads, help your children and grandchildren to grow up and become committed to Christ themselves. Pray for them from the inception in the womb. Pray for them as they grow up. Don't force them spiritually. There's no way you're going to help people if you go like a bull in a china shop. But just in the way you live and in the words you use, help them to look to Jesus in their lives. And I can tell you absolutely definitely, I have never, ever forgotten my own aunt, Frances, whose name we gave to our eldest child, who is a wonderful Christian, died of cancer in my early 20s. She was my favorite aunt. I have never forgotten her witness to Jesus Christ within the family. And that was an influence on me and a reminder to me that the way we live is vital. Three, never forget that in our own strength we can achieve for Christ nothing at all. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, there is no limit whatsoever that can happen in our lives, the lives of our children, the grandchildren, the nephews and nieces. Everything is possible. Continually, therefore, ask God to renew your life so that you are stirred up to spread the gospel. We are not spiritually individuals anymore like Samson, but rather members of the worldwide body of Christ. With our help, little as it may seem, our nation can be drawn back to faith in Christ and a new Christian era begin once more. In that way, we can be used as God's rescuer. May each one of us make a start in our own town, relying upon the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, perhaps this week there will be somebody we meet whom we can help towards rescue by Jesus Christ. You never know. Through you, God can bring somebody to know Jesus Christ. And on the ground, you could be his rescuer. Amen.